438, 437, 436. Can the Jaguars make something happen? Brunell under center. Sends Keenan in motion from the near to the far side. He'll take the snap and drop back to throw. Pressure coming. He's jumping out to the near side. Pump action. Cuts across the 50. Breaks a tackle at the 45. He's at the 40. Mark Brunell running to the far sideline. Turns the corner. 35, 30. Down to the 25. An inside move. Leaping for the 21. Mark Brunell with a masterful run of 29 yards. And the clock continues to run. Here's the game, ladies and gentlemen. With no timeouts left, the Jaguars will not be able to stop the clock. Gerard barks out the signals in the shotgun. Takes the snap. Drops. Now he's going to run. And David's going to get in and more. He's at the 25-yard line. Stays on his feet. 20. There he goes. 15. And he's down at the 10. How about that one?
Now, from the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, 1010XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey and Tony Smith.
Ah, better days, Tony. That was hearkening back to better days. Happy anniversary, Jacksonville. Happy anniversary, Jaguars franchise, Jaguars fans. It was this day 23 years ago when the NFL in its infinite wisdom said that Wayne Weaver guy's got something going and we want to be a part of it down in the city of Jacksonville. And they awarded the Jags the 30th at the time NFL franchise. And 23 years later, I feel like we got an expansion club.
Here we are.
Again. Here we are once again. There have been some good times. There have been some down times. But the bottom line is, I'd rather have bad NFL football in Jacksonville than no NFL football in Jacksonville. Thank you, Wayne Weaver, for fighting the good fight and for not caving when the NFL said, hey, Wayne, we really like you. We're not really sure that's the best place to put a franchise. Wayne said, you want me? You got Jacksonville. It's a package deal. I'm not putting a franchise in St. Louis with my name on it. Wayne Weaver stood firm. And that was, to me, the most significant moment, really, in this entire process of years that preceded Wayne Weaver getting involved, of efforts to bring a football team to the city of Jacksonville. Wayne Weaver, look, Shad Khan may one day, we may look back and say he's the most important sports figure in Jacksonville history. If things go in the best case scenario for where I think they could go under his regime, Tony, but it's always going to be tough. You know, could you have had Shad without Wayne? You couldn't have, right? So, I mean, Wayne is the most important sports figure in Jacksonville history, may always be in that regard, you know, to me at least. Maybe not everyone agrees with that, but bringing the franchise here and making this a true major league city on that kind of level was the most significant sports accomplishment that's ever been achieved here.
I totally agree with you, and we'll see if there's a bigger accomplishment down the road if this does become a team that is consistently competing for championships at some point and is no longer looked at as kind of, you know, the stepbrother by a lot of other cities in the NFL. And if they start winning, that goes away. But that's what makes that go away. It's not like Green Bay wasn't in the same situation at some point. And it's not like the really good franchises, historic franchises in this league, don't go through swoons. They do. And, you know, the Giants were bad for about 25 years. Honestly, I mean, really
the
bad.
The Packers stunk for a long time
for
when
25
I was growing
up. I mean, it's not like everyone's great all the time. The Patriots were
They were awful.
Awful.
The Bills were horrible.
Yeah, it goes through those kind of waves in this league. It's just that this one feels super long. And again, we'll see if they can pull themselves out of it sometime in the near future. I certainly hope they do. But the opportunity to watch them do it as an NFL team in this city, thank you, Wayne. And 23 years ago
and
today,
Dolores,
it started. Yeah.
And everybody else that had a hand in making that happen. And you know who you are, Rick Catlett, and many, many people in the background getting it done, you know, we still got NFL football here. To me, it doesn't seem like the time is long. It's just that it's so extreme. Top five pick. You know what? There are plenty of teams that missed the playoffs for a long, long stretch, right? But they have those 8-8 seasons. You know, the Jags just haven't had anything competitive in a while. It's been such an extreme at the bottom. I think that's what makes it feel like even a longer period of time. Look, it's not been a short period of time. Don't get me wrong.
No.
But
we go to the glory days of 2010.
Right. But when you talk about like Arizona Cardinals, think about that franchise, the Cardinals, with, you know, how bad they had been historically. And I don't care if they suffer, quite frankly. I don't want this organization and its fans to suffer anymore. Let's hope that 2017 will ring in a brand new start for the Jacksonville Jaguars. But it was on this day 23 years ago that the Jags got their start here officially in Jacksonville. What a tremendous performance by you. I'm talking to you out there listening. I'm not talking to Tony, although tremendous by him as well, because Tony digs deep and he also lays it out there emotionally on the radio. When it comes to the J Fund, we sought to raise $102,000 yesterday. You guys blew past that. Over $115,000 raised in a single day. That's a phenomenal job. There's got to be a better word than great for that. Phenomenal job. Give yourself a hand. Give yourself a round of applause. I'll give you one right now. $115,000 raised that goes to the J Fund. 98% of that money goes directly to families. There's very little overhead with the J Fund to administer this. And you heard some of the stories all day long yesterday about how families right here on the First Coast were impacted with a diagnosis of childhood cancer. And you have provided a tremendous service to those folks, to the J Fund, to help continue to keep those families together at the toughest times that they face. So, again, kudos to you, man. Keep supporting the J Fund year-round. But great job by all of you yesterday. We've got another cool kind of holiday related charity thing coming up that we're going to talk about. Toys for Shots, Tony. I don't stutter. It's not Toys for Tots.
No, you heard correctly.
It's Toys for Shots. We'll discuss that about an hour from now with Chase Thompson and Joe Bain, a.k.a. Batman and Joe Bain. I don't know if Joe goes by Commissioner Bain or anything like that. But
could he just be Bain? Maybe the villain?
That's a good point. How are they teaming up on this? This is that one went right over my head. But they'll join us in studio about an hour from now. One of our buddies on Twitter, Kevin Carter, is threatening to bring a Loggeman jersey down here. He showed up yesterday with a cash donation. Loggy had just left the building, so we're going to get that done for him, try to get that signed for him so he could be here any minute now. But today, we like stories. And I know our audience skews a little bit younger, right, because they're very social media active. Twitter, I think Twitter skews younger than Facebook. You agree with that?
Yes.
Right? So regardless, you know, there's some fans. I'm curious to see young guy. Chase is a young guy, right? How old is he? How old was he when the franchise was awarded here? How aware was he of that moment? So the question of the day is to you, when you first heard that Jacksonville was awarded an NFL franchise, and particularly we're talking about people who were, you know, aware of what was going on and that at the moment that happened, where were you? What was going on? What do you remember about that time? Share your stories with us on all our outlets today on Twitter, at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony. This is the Tom Bush Family of Dealerships fan feedback question of the day on the Jaguars Today Facebook page, 641-1010 on the phone lines. Also on the text line at the same number, driven by Duval Ford. So
my story is going to make a lot of people feel very old.
Will you hold that story?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll get to ours coming up. Again, $115,000 plus yesterday. Man, slap yourself on the back, Jacksonville. You did a great job on Giving Tuesday, and we thank you, and primarily those families that are going to be the direct beneficiaries of your generosity. They thank you as well, and you heard some of them thanking you directly yesterday, and it continues on the great work that Tom Coughlin and his family and all that are associated with the J Fund do here on the First Coast. We got to take a step back, take a break right here, but let's have a good, positive Jags day here. 23rd anniversary of the franchise being awarded to the city of Jacksonville. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, on a Metro Rooter Wednesday. It's Jaguars Today, live at Everbank on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Jaguars Today, from the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute Studios at Everbank Field. Wins on Sunday require great performances.
Back to throw, under some pressure. Humps once, tucks it under and scrambles.
Performance Painting presents the high-performance play of the game on 1010XL. Performance Painting. Quality coatings applied with pride.
This is Malik Jackson, and you're listening to the only weekday show dedicated to your Jacksonville Jaguars. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL.
I heard the guy's story about his daughter going through chemo and going through cancer, and I have a 2-month-old, and I know I'd be devastated hearing that. So, you know, it spoke to me, and I just want to do what I can, you know, because I know I would want to help in that situation. So, you know, it's a blessing to be a blessing.
That's Malik Jackson yesterday. What a great job he did, Tony, huh?
Yeah, it was kind of cool. You know, we have the opportunity. We've been around for all 8 years of the J-Fun Radiothon. And, you know, for Malik, it was brand new. And he got in the studio. I think he was surprised to see anybody occupying his studio.
Right. And by the way, Malik is the first NFL player who has been active and has shown up 15 minutes early for anything.
And apparently he does every week. But we're usually down here, so he's not used to seeing us in that studio down there. So he walked in and he's like, hey, what's going on? Can I just sit in on the segment? We're like, yeah, man, just have a seat, whatever. But obviously the J-Fun, the Radiothon, all that stuff was new to him. And
we
and I was watching him react to Chris's story, and you could see it on Malik. He's sitting there going, they're doing what now? For who? And providing what for these families? And you could, like, I was just watching him. I was like, there's no way he's not donating as soon as we're done with this set. There's no way he's not going.
Well, and what happened was, Nimnik called in, Billy Nimnik, from the Nimnik Family Dealerships. They donated $1,500, and he hadn't called yet. So we were right at our goal for the 2 hours, which was about $11,000.
Yeah.
And with about 20 minutes to go, we were at $9,500, not counting the $1,500 that Nimnik pledged. And Malik said, you house short? Let me pull out the wallet right here.
Yep.
And I don't walk around with $1,500, but apparently Malik does. And
I don't have a $90 million contract either.
He shines his reading glasses with that.
No,
I don't know
awesome.
What he does with that. Yeah, so very generous of Malik Jackson to do that. I didn't have any problem when he was sitting there suggesting that a defensive tackle with a $90 million contract might be able to make up a little bit of the shortfall right there.
No.
So, hey, you know, we put you on the spot once a year and you respond tremendously, $115,000, I think $115,021 to be precise. We got to be precise because next year we're going to be shooting higher.
Yes, we will.
Trust me. They put a lot of pressure on us to raise the bar every year, and it's phenomenal what you guys do every single year. So great job by you. If you'd like to get in today, 641-1010, here's Lauren Brooks. I'm not going to tell you how old she was. She put it on Twitter. She said she was 11. When she heard the news, Lauren is going to be like 29 forever. Anyway, I don't know how old Lauren Brooks is, but she's one of those girls that's going to look 29 forever. She was 11 and heard the news on Sports Talk Radio in her dad's car when he picked me up from school. That could have been drunken David Lamb, is my guess, right? Because this is the one, and I'm not telling stories out of school here. Dave has told this story on the air before. Tony, we are broadcast professionals. In all seriousness, you know, we do a lot of shows at sports bars, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't drink while we're on the air, right?
No.
You're at work. And when you're done, if you want to have a beer, whatever. That was one day the rules went out the window. Okay. And apparently, I was not working at the other station that I don't believe they exist anymore, do they? I don't think they're still in town.
If they do, it's a shadow.
Is it a shadow of what it used to be?
Yeah.
All right. So anyway, back then in 1993, I knew Joe Coward. Joe had a sports show in St. Augustine on 1240 a.m., and I was, I think at the time I was still his producer. He was doing the show with Pat Paolini. It's called the cleverly named Pat and Joe Sports Show. Okay? They really went to the ends of the earth to come up with that one. And you know, I became their producer. And then Joe and I did the show together after a while. And anyway, at the time, we were kind of following the saga of what was going on. And then I remember I was working a bunch of different odd jobs. And in addition to the radio station, I worked at a gas station right next to Ripley's, believe it or not, in St. Augustine.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I was. And I heard it on the radio myself. I used to just sit in there and listen to nothing but talk radio. Back when apparently, I don't know if this is when I developed the allergy to newsprint, but I used to read three newspapers a day, Tony. This is my pre-internet days.
Right.
And I'd read them, you know, I really got a lot of work done on my eight-hour shift, sitting there running the cash register and reading the newspaper. But anyway, that's what I heard about it, and it was just so unbelievable at the time. Such a long shot, you know, that they really wanted to give it to St. Louis, but St. Louis didn't have their act together with their bid. And so Wayne Weaver in Jacksonville, they just fell in love with the guy, and they awarded him the franchise. So I was sitting in what at the time was called the Downtown Chevron. I think it's an Exxon station now. And listening to AM radio, and as I recall that day, the beverages flowed freely. I don't know how many FCC rules were broken, but I think the statute of limitations has long since expired.
Yeah, I think so. And I can only imagine. I wasn't listening to sports radio back then. I was only 10 years old when the team was granted to the city of Jacksonville. I can remember my dad, who grew up in Nashville, Tennessee, and it's still like I can see him. He's still a little freaked out that that little town that he felt like he grew up in Nashville has an NFL team and an NHL team now. And by that time, we had moved down here to Jacksonville, and he thought he had moved into a place that was a lot like Nashville, where it's kind of like big little town is kind of the way that it feels. And when they got awarded an NFL team, I can remember him like just shaking his head. He's like, I can't believe I'm living in an NFL city. Like, just the idea for him of being in an NFL city was weird, right? And I was in a household where my mom and my little brother, they're Pittsburgh Steelers fans. My Giants fandom was very, very young. Like, it had started, I was a baseball fan long before I was a football fan. And so the Giants Super Bowl win over the Bills was basically when I started paying attention to any NFL football. So it was kind of off the radar for me. But I do remember my dad reacting to it. But my most vivid memory of it is I was in fifth grade at the time, showing up for school the day after the team was awarded. And basically, my fifth grade teacher, the classroom is decorated in just, you know, teal and black and gold, and all this stuff was in
teal
the class.
Was the hot right. color back then.
And
was
I remember
not?
We had like an art contest that day in my fifth grade class of design the logo for the Jaguars. So it was just a bunch of fifth grade kids. We were designing our own logos for this football team. I didn't even know what a jaguar was. Like, they had to show me pictures of what the animal was for me to even guess at trying to draw these logos. But that is my most vivid memory of this city being awarded the franchise. Obviously, you know, I've been covering the thing for, you know, 10 plus years now and been down here virtually every day, it feels like, for the last three or four. But it's, yeah, I can remember trying to figure out what a jaguar was. And how can I draw it in a cool way so it would be the logo that I want to see maybe for the rest of my life in the city of Jacksonville? I wish I knew where I kept that picture. I'm sure it's absolutely hideous. Whatever it was,
it'd be the best,
drew.
Though, man. It would be the best if you could have that now. Remember all the knockoff Jaguar merchandise back then? Like, the people were just making stuff up at their silk screening. And
I'm not convinced my teacher wasn't like trying to get into that kind of bootleg business.
Those are some of the classics, though, back then. We remember sometime in the last couple of years, we did one of those send us photos of your coolest, most unique Jaguar gear over the year, and people had some of the ones that were literally a run of like 100 of a particular shirt were made, and you know, people have saved all this stuff over the years, so very cool. I just got this one posted on the Jaguars Today Facebook page. This is from Steve in Wilmington, Delaware, right now, following along. He said, happy birthday to my beloved Jaguars. Thanks for making me wear teal from 1995 to 2000. Looking forward to the NFL draft every year and the past 10 years of misery. I will never quit on you. The heart wants what the heart wants. And he's got a Wayne Weaver signed helmet from back in the day that said, Wayne Weaver, we did it November 30th, 1993. That is pretty sweet right there. You did do it, Wayne and Dolores and everybody else involved in the process. Of course, he had the Leaping Jaguar, which the Jaguar Motor Company did not appreciate the resemblance to their fine product. So, you know what? I think the Jacksonville Jaguars were hotter than the Jaguar Motor Company, at least from 95 to 2000. Maybe they should have stuck with it. Now, I could understand, all right? Times have changed right now. All right, if you'd like to get in today. By the way, Tyler Devitt was 15 months old at the time. I don't think he was quite sentient.
I don't really remember the announcement,
Do you? When's the first time you like watched NFL football, Tyler? Or what's your first NFL related memory? Can you recall?
Ooh, it may have been back with the late '90s with the Bears with Rick Meyer and Anthony Davis and David Terrell.
Boy, that was some of the classic Bears teams.
Very bad Bears teams.
I remember, for me, I probably go back, like, I was a kid, I want to say, like, first or second grade, we had to draw a picture of what we did on our summer vacation, like, on the first day back. So I drew a picture. I remembered watching the Green Bay Packers, but I only saw it on TV. And my teacher was all excited. Did you go to see the Green Bay Packers? I'm like, no. It was on TV. That's why did I? And how could I even have watched them on summer vacation? Maybe it was like a winter break thing. That must have been what it was. It was like must coming been, back in January. Same thing. I wish I had that picture now. What did I know back then? What do I know now, for that matter? Tyler Devitt was 15 months old. We got a lot of youngsters out there, but share your stories. We'll read through some of those a little bit later on how you first heard about the Jaguars being awarded to the city of Jacksonville. It's the 30th NFL franchise. We'll also come back. We'll hear a little bit from Malik Jackson yesterday on Midday Chalk. So that's coming up. We've got the Honda Drive around the NFL, the state in football, and all that still to come. And we'll talk with Chase Thompson and Joe Bain about the Toys for Shots promotion. You heard me right. I didn't stutter. It is a legitimate thing that's going on. Oh, we got Milligan on the line. Ask Barry if he can hold on through the break, Tyler, because we're coming up against it right here, or if he wants to call us back in a few minutes. Because knowing Barry, he was on the scene when Lamb was holding court.
No doubt.
On November 30th, 1993.
He will wait through the break.
All right, our man Barry Milligan, I'm sure we'll get a couple of the classic Milligan laughs out of him as well. I'm counting on that. As we go along this morning. All right, stick with us here on the 23rd anniversary of Jacksonville being awarded an NFL franchise. We're live at Everbank on a Metro Rooter Wednesday. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you on Jaguars Today on 1010 XL and 92.5 FM. Hey, folks, Mike Dempsey here for my favorite people, the Thompsons, Dandy Foods. He's sitting right here, Tony. He's right here in the studio, Chase Thompson. He's a good guy, and his family puts out a great product. Dandy Foods, Dandy Sandwiches and Subs, the Anytime Deli line, all that has been going on for over six decades now here on the First Coast. And it used to be just a handful of sandwiches, and they did a great job with that. I've been eating their tuna salad for probably as long as the Jags have had a franchise, at least that long. And you know what? Now they've grown into be so much more. They've got breakfast items. They've got the light lunchtime wraps. They're keeping up with the times. They've still got all the classics like the classic Cuban, the egg salad, the three meat trio. You name it, they've got it for you. Something for every taste. And the price, it's going to make you smile every time. You walk into your local Circle K or Kangaroo Express, head right to the fresh case, and the hardest decision you're going to make all day is which variety of Dandy sandwich you're going to have today. So you know what? Try them all. You're going to find several that you love. I guarantee it. When you're hungry, do what I do. Go out and make yours a Dandy today.
Jaguars Daily is brought to you by Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute, the official sports medicine provider for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
The Jags sit at 2-9 heading into Sunday's home game against the Denver Broncos. And yesterday, Malik Jackson joined the guys at Midday Chalk to talk about the matchup against his former team.
I've definitely had it circled for a while. You know, definitely been looking forward to this game. This means a lot to me because, you know those guys. And I just want to have a great game and show them who I am, you know, when they're not on the same team. So hopefully I can just go out there and just be the same player I know I am. And I'm trying not to let the moment get too big, but it'll be a big day Sunday.
This has been Jaguars Daily brought to you by JOI. I'm Jordan DeArmond.
From the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, more Jaguars Today on 1010 XL 92.5 FM.
All right, happy anniversary, Jacksonville, being awarded the NFL franchise on this date in 1993. Tony, did you just close your eyes and groove for a second there?
I did. I love this.
Wow, that was amazing. I don't know if I've seen that recently, but he's a head-bobbing fool today. Ladies and gentlemen, Jaguars are 23 years old today. And
it's a good day.
It's a great day.
I'm not having to talk about the 2016 Jaguars.
It's wonderful.
I'm living in the past a little bit today.
Why not?
This is a good day.
It's a great place to live if you're a Jaguars supporter, right? And again, still in the afterglow of raising $115,000 for the J Fund yesterday. Tremendous work on that front, all of you listeners out there, and one of our friends and cohorts out there in the listening audience, Barry Milligan. I believe was on hand. He may have had some firsthand personal observations of David Lamb and the crew holding court back in 1993. What's up, Bearfax? How are you, sir?
Hey, fellas. First off, I got to say, Tony, let's go back just a few days and relive. Anchor down, baby.
You aren't kidding, Barry. I'm still flying high, brother.
I promised my nephew, who's a Vandy grad and Vandy law grad, we're going on my dime to whatever. Well, I'll go to Shreveport. I don't care. We beat Tennessee to get to a bowl, baby. I don't care where we go.
Hey, my sister lives in Shreveport. You don't want to go there. Just trust
me. Oh, I've been there.
Trust me. I know you have. I know you have.
I didn't leave anything when I left either.
There's not an outpost in the southeast that you have not been to in some capacity as a sports broadcaster. What do you recall from 23 years ago today, Barry?
Well, you know, oddly enough, I actually recall there were owners' meetings prior to the vote actually being taken. The owners' meetings were taking place in Chicago, and Sunshine Network, the original Sunshine Network, now Sun Sports, was only 5 years old at the time, and the budgets were still tight, but I was producing David Lamb's television show, Lamb at Large show, for Sunshine Network, and they said, okay, Jacksonville's in the mix. We'll send you to Chicago for the owners' meeting to see how it goes. So we go up there, and we stay, and we do interviews, and we meet with people, and nothing was decided. My highlight of the trip, actually, Don Davis, who was a city councilman and ultimately became the city council president, I'm a, you know, dumb, scratching my head in the lobby kid at the time, and Don sees me and says, hey, we got some extra tickets for the Monday Night Football game was in Chicago. We got extra tickets for Monday Night Football game. You want to go? I was like, of course I want to go. So we arrange a time to meet in the lobby. So I go down and meet Don Davis in the lobby, and he's standing there with one of the original investors for Touchdown Jacksonville, a guy named Jeb Bush. So wow. I end up going to the Monday Night Football game with Don Davis and Jeb Bush. I think I might have said 12 words all night because I didn't want to appear stupid in that crowd. But ultimately, no vote was taken. They send us home, and they said, and then ultimately the people, the GM and you know, the CFO at Sunshine Network, they were like, well, you know, no vote was taken, so it probably doesn't bode well, so we're not going to send you back for the vote. So they sent us for the owners' meetings, but they wouldn't pay to send us back for the actual vote. So prior to that, ultimately, you guys remember the old sports talk radio at the time, we did, for the week prior to the actual vote being taken, we did every show on the sports talk station that we did locally from the Times Union building because we were taking pledges for season tickets. And it was the craziest thing. Carl Cannon, who ran the Times Union at the time, said, you know, that was the epicenter of Jaguar support, and we were taking pledges. And there were thousands and thousands and thousands of people that called in. We were actually there's a little theater there at the Times Union building where we were for the entire week. And I truly believe, besides obviously the ownership group, the support that was shown, just like yesterday, the unbelievable support that was shown 23 years ago for the Jaguars by these fans who wanted that team so badly was huge in ultimately Jacksonville getting the vote and getting the franchise.
Now, specifically, do you have any recollection of David Lamb's state of mind 23 years ago today?
I can neither confirm nor deny, but I don't have much recollection of my own state of mind because we were together.
well, you know, it's convenient then that we have David Lamb on the line as well. So let's bring him in and see if we can put all the collective brain cells together that are left over. Good morning, David. How are you?
I am doing great, and it's great to have the Jaguars here. It's hard to believe that 23 years ago we didn't know we were going to get them, and this city was really a buzz at the time. Actually, it was kind of kicked off because the week before we had not gotten the franchise what we thought we had, and we were waiting for a second vote.
And so, Dave, on that day, in anticipation of the announcement, what were your duties as far as broadcasting that day?
Well, I'll be honest with you. I think most of us felt like we weren't going to get a franchise because we had been in Chicago, as Barry was talking about earlier.
Right.
The Jacksonville contingent had done a great job of laying out the plan. They had met all the requirements the NFL had asked for and exceeded
those
requirements, and they didn't get it. So people were kind of bummed out a little bit. I was on the golf course, and I got a ranger came out. This was pre-cell phone days, by the way, and said, David, you got a call in the pro shop, and they said you really need to take it. But I remember leaving the golf course at Deer Creek, and I drove in, and Bob Pettichelli, who was part of the ownership of the Jacksonville Kennel Clubs and all that, and they were in business with the Rooneys, who owned the Steelers. One of the Rooneys had come out of the owners' meeting, had called Bob and said Jacksonville just got voted a franchise. Bob called me. I called the general manager of our radio station, said, we've got the franchise. She said, we're going to have a party at the Sports Corner Saloon, Sports Corner Sports Bar. We used to do some shows from there over in Mandarin there in San Jose in 295. We're going to throw a party, and the station's going to buy all the beer, and we go out there, and we go on the air, and immediately start celebrating. And before it was over with, somehow I was standing on a table and drinking out of a pitcher, as we all celebrated wall to wall, of course, free beer and an NFL franchise all in the same day. You can imagine literally thousands of people. I guess the parking lot was at shoulder to shoulder, and anyway, it was quite the scene. And unfortunately, one of the local TV stations caught me on the table guzzling the beer out of a pitcher, so I can't deny that we were doing it, but it was one hell of a party.
Everybody gets a pass for that day, David. It's all good.
Yeah,
I'm just Tony. I'm trying to picture what it took to get Lamb on the table, though. How did he get up
there?
I know.
Who knows?
That's the amazing thing.
What I try to explain to people who are young and just like some of my colleagues is that 23 years ago, I wasn't 71 years old, 300 pounds. Man,
come on.
I was much younger. Well,
and I can also attest, Mike, that Dave Lamb back in the day, Dave was spry for a big guy.
But I could get on the table, and I could certainly drink beer out of a pitcher.
That I know you can handle. Yes, sir.
And I think I could probably still do that, but everything else is gone. But it was just a wild, crazy day. I've been in Jacksonville in the sports media since 1977, and there's never been a day like that. I mean, this city literally went bananas. And the fact that Jacksonville, who had been the longest of long shots, you know, 15 years earlier, had actually had the franchise. When people on the media all over the country started taking shots, they had been taking shots at Jacksonville. But we had a franchise. Memphis didn't. We were kicked off in Memphis. Birmingham didn't. They were ticked off there. And several other cities that really thought they were going to have the franchise. And we got it, and it was a wonderful, great day. And like I tell people now, as bad as the Jaguars are, hey, it's a lot better to have an NFL franchise than not to have one.
Amen, brother. And now Birmingham, Tuscaloosa has their own professional franchise with even a higher salary cap than the NFL has. So congratulations to them.
The only thing in South Alabama is the best is about the salary cap.
Otherwise, all right, hey, guy, Dave, you're breaking up on us, but we appreciate both of you guys stepping in today because you're certainly a big part of all the coverage that went down in the early days and continuing to this day for the Jacksonville Jaguars. So we appreciate you taking a few minutes out to share your recollections, hazy though they may be, from 23 years ago today. Bear facts, Barry Milligan, good
hey,
to talk to you, brother.
All right, man. And just for the record, I will be at the stadium on Sunday supporting my team.
Attaboy. And David Lamb, I will see you here in this very studio on Sunday. How about that?
All right. Well, I'm breaking up a little bit because I've been trying to redo that day, and I'm about to fall off this table here at my house.
So, somebody send a golf cart for David Lamb just like 23 years ago, people. Dave, thanks, buddy. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
There they go, Barry Milligan, David Lamb, looking back on what was a wild day. Tony, just one I just saw come through the Twitter timeline a few minutes ago. This one from Gary Sapp at Nest Egg Pub on Atlantic Beach, stuck in traffic on that day 23 years ago. People heard the news and started just laying on the horn. Best day ever, said Gary. Let's hope there's a better one to come that involves hoisting that Lombardi trophy. We got to take a time out here. Thanks again to Barry Milligan and David Lamb for jumping on board. 23rd anniversary of the Jaguars being awarded to the city of Jacksonville. Where were you? That's kind of the theme of the day. We'll come back with this date in football. What happened on this date in football? And the Honda drive around the NFL still to come. Toys for shots. How can you make some kids' Christmas very happy this holiday season? We'll tell you with a Jaguar theme. That's coming up as well. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony on a Metro Rooter Wednesday, live from Everbank on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
And now, this date in football history.
All right, what happened on this date in football history, Tony? I'm not going to start in 1993. We'll build towards it. 1997, L.A. Raider running back Bo Jackson ran for 221 yards in just his fifth NFL game as the Raiders knocked off Seattle 37-14, highlighted by a couple of touchdowns, one from 2 yards, the other from 91. That was the infamous Bo runs up the tunnel game in the fog of time. I always thought that was like an overtime run or something. Like, why is he running into the tunnel? Was the game over and he was just headed to the locker room? No, it was the second quarter. Bo was that fast. He was afraid he'd pull a hamstring if he tried to slow down before he ended up. He also added a 14-yard touchdown catch on the day. Also happens to be Bo Jackson's birthday today. How about that? That also happens to be the birthday of your Jacksonville Jaguars. Jacksonville awarded the 30th NFL franchise on this date in 1993. That's kind of been the focus of the program this morning. Other famous birthdays for this date other than the Jaguars. We go back to 1898. Tony, I know one of your favorite guys, Roy Link Lyman, was born on this date.
Yeah, love that guy.
Offensive tackle for a number of teams, but a Hall of Fame offensive tackle, and that's why we mentioned him. Inducted in 1964. He lived to be 74 years old, passed away in 1972. Born on this date in 1931, passing away at the age of 75 in 2007. Former head coach Bill Walsh of the San Francisco 49ers, three-time Super Bowl champ, two-time NFL Coach of the Year, and was named the NFL's Coach of the All-Decade 1980s squad. As I mentioned, Bo Jackson's birthday, born on this date in 1962. He's 54 years old. He was the first overall pick of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in the 86 draft. Decided he didn't want to play for the Bucs. He went back to play baseball, and the Raiders took a flyer on him the next year in the seventh round, 183rd overall, and the rest was history there. Also born on this date in 1969, happy 47th to Larry Brown, MVP of Super Bowl 30 for the Dallas Cowboys. That dude was born on this date. Marcellus Wiley, who ended his career with a couple of seasons in Jacksonville in the mid-2000s. He is 42 years old today. Now you see him on ESPN. He is a one-time Pro Bowler. And also born on this date, former Jaguar Aaron Campman, who just couldn't overcome those knee injuries ultimately. And how old's Campman, would you say?
I'll go 46.
37?
Really?
Man, isn't that crazy? Am I doing the math wrong? I don't think I am. No, 1979. He's 37 years old. Seems like he should be like in his mid-40s. Two-time Pro Bowler Aaron Campman, and that wraps up this date in football history.
Now the Honda Drive Around the NFL, brought to you by your First Coast Honda dealers.
Former NFL safety Darren Sharper was sentenced on Tuesday in a Los Angeles courthouse to a 20-year prison sentence to conclude his trial for the drugging and raping of women in four different states. Sharper will be eligible for parole in 8 years, but that could change based on the result of an appeal for an 18-year prison sentence that was handed down in New Orleans. Two of Sharper's victims spoke in the courtroom before the sentence was finally handed down, with one identified only as Jane Doe 2. Saying, quote, "The only good thing about this situation is that this disgusting lowlife human will be sent to prison for many years, and it is likely he will never be able to do this to another woman again.
Still too short a time.
I hope this scumbag will now feel as worthless as he made me feel," end quote. Logan Thomas, who played quarterback at Virginia Tech from 2010 to 2013, was selected by the Arizona Cardinals in the fourth round of the 2013 NFL Draft. He was signed as a tight end to the Detroit Lions practice squad on Monday. Yesterday, one day later, the Buffalo Bills signed Thomas off of the Lions practice squad to their 53-man roster as a tight end. Thomas has to stay on the Bills' 53-man roster for the next 3 weeks and looks to be the team's third tight end behind Charles Clay and former Noel Nick O'Leary for now. Atlanta Falcons cornerback Desmond Trufant will miss the remainder of the 2016 season after suffering a torn pectoral muscle during the Falcons' 38-19 win over Arizona on Sunday. Trufant, the former first-round pick, is in the fourth year of its rookie deal with a team option for the fifth year next season that would pay him just over $8 million and is expected to be picked up. And finally, Buffalo Bills right tackle Chantrell Henderson has been given a 10-game suspension for a failed drug test for using marijuana. Henderson is reportedly considering legal action against the league for the suspension because he suffers from Crohn's disease, which prevents him from being able to use painkillers to help with the debilitating pain caused by the disease. Instead, Henderson reportedly uses the medical-grade marijuana to allow him to get back on the field at all. This wouldn't be the first drug that the league would allow an exception for players to use within their own rules, as they do allow players to use Adderall if they go through the proper channels to do so. The story with Henderson could lead to the same kind of situation for medicinal marijuana at some point in the very near future for the National Football League.
I thought you could use anything that you're prescribed by a doctor. You could get an exemption.
Apparently
for
not.
Or an exception for. Well, in this case, but when he says he couldn't use pain, why can't he use other painkillers? I don't get that. I would think that anything that is, like, marijuana is not legal in every state.
No.
Right? So I can understand how the NFL looks at it differently than it would some other painkillers. But, you know, over-the-counter or prescription painkillers, I would think if you've got a legitimate reason for them, you should be able to use that. So it'll be interesting to see how that works out for Chantrell Henderson. Coming up in about 10 minutes, the second annual Bat Santa's Toys for Shots tailgate event is going to take place this weekend. We'll discuss that with Chase Thompson, a.k.a. Batman, and Joe Bane. Batman and Bane together. It's quite quite disturbing, Tony. They're right here within striking distance of me in the studio. We'll also welcome in our friend Kevin Carter here in just a minute as he contributed yesterday to the J Fund and brought a Lagerman jersey by. Of course, Lagerman's not coming in today. We did not know that. But nevertheless, we'll get that signed for him, and we'll talk about his memory of the Jags being awarded the franchise. It was a painful one for him, but not why you might think. Right now, I think we have Theo on the line, so let's get Theo in Arlington at 641-1010 before we welcome in Kevin. Theo, good morning. How are you?
I'm great. I was 6 years old in 93, and I was a little kid, so I really don't remember what day it was, and I remember jumping up and down the hall. I'm like, wow, we got a football team, man. And I was
Were you aware that the Jacksonville was in contention at the time, or did you just turn on the TV and find out, hey, we got a football team?
I was aware that we were in talks of getting a football team. So I was pretty much aware of that, and then once I saw we got rewarded the team, and I was just so pumped up and down. I remember asking my dad, "Can I get a jersey? Can I get a jersey?" I can't remember what day it was, but I remember jumping up and down, and I was so happy. We got a football team finally. We have something to talk about. We could just be a boring city and talk about other stuff. I'm so thankful for that. We have something to talk about. We've been through hell the last few years, but I'm confident we're going to get this thing turned around. It can't go on forever. You have a good day.
All right. Thank you, Theo. We appreciate it, man.
Cleveland begs to differ that it can't go on forever.
It can.
It can be perpetual.
It won't.
Yeah.
Tyler adding this on the Chantrell Henderson story. Ian Rappaport tweeting out that a source added after the second suspension, he needs cannabis. You can't take painkillers the way his intestines are, apparently the kind. Yeah. So that's why he can't do it. Okay, that it makes sense to me. I didn't understand why he couldn't take those. I thought it was an NFL reason. It was a medical reason.
It's
why,
a medical reason. Yeah,
why he's unable to
because
take
of the Crohn's disease. He physically can't do it.
5 years from now, 10 years from now, this is not even going to be an issue. I don't know how the NFL is going to feel about it, but it's going to be legal everywhere, and people are going to be prescribed it for a variety of things, and the NFL is going to have to be dragged kicking and screaming into the 21st century. That's a discussion for a later date. Let's say hello to our friend Kevin Carter. What's up, Kev? How are you?
I'm doing good. How are y'all doing?
We're doing very well. Thank you for your contribution to the J Fund yesterday. I hope you've heard we set a record for the Radiothon, $115,000
wow.
plus raised
amazing.
Yesterday.
It was amazing. Hearing those stories and everything yesterday, it kind of puts everything into perspective.
No doubt about it. And yesterday, the timing was just so awkward. We had Lagerman in studio. We're like, hey, if you want to make a donation, you want to show up, and Logs will sign something for you, come on down. And then Logs had to cut out about 15 minutes early, about 30 seconds before you arrived, I think.
No, he was walking out of the parking lot as I was out into the parking lot as I was walking into the building.
Did you talk? Did you say anything?
I said, hey, Jeff, how are you doing? He's like, oh, good. I was like, I got to get something signed for you because I came down. He goes, that was you? And I'm like, yeah. He goes, don't worry, just bring it.
Okay, good. All right. Well, you brought a Log jersey in today, a Logman jersey, and we'll make sure he takes care of that for you. You had a pretty, I thought, kind of interesting story of where you were 23 years ago. Tell us when you heard about the Jags getting the franchise.
Hearing everybody call in and talking to the guys and everything, it makes me seem really old that I was 16 when we got the franchise.
Right, Tyler was 15 months old at the time.
Yeah, right? I'm like, I was 16, so I remember the whole leeway up to it and everything. So we're sitting there watching TV as me and my dad, my mom was at work. I'm looking at my dad, I'm like, we're going to get it. I'm the forever optimist out of my family. I'm like, so we're going to get it. I know it's going to happen. My dad, he's like, nah, we ain't going to get it. So we're watching the TV, and all of a sudden, I see the thumbs up. I think it was Cherry who gave the thumbs up as he was walking by, and I was like, okay, we got it. My dad's like, I don't believe anything until I hear it. So when Tagliabue actually said the 30th franchise goes to the Jacksonville Jaguars, I literally jumped up into the air. I'm 6'2". My mom's house is 7 foot probably at the ceiling. I jump into the air and wham, hit my head. The popcorn from the ceiling starts falling down. I look like I have a bad case of dandruff. And I hit the ground, and I hit it, and I fell down. My dad goes, you okay? I jump back up, and I'm like, yeah, I'm okay. And then my mom, as soon as I get done, the phone rings, and it's my mom, and she goes, we got the football team. And then all of a sudden it hit me that we actually finally have an NFL team in Jacksonville. And I started crying. It was a pretty emotional day. And I don't know if I can blame the crying on me getting a concussion or me hitting my head or something like that. But it's a day that I'll remember forever. I remember that night we got up, went down to the stadium. You hear all the horns honking and everything. And we came and we were part of the, I think it was 50,000 people that was in the Gator Bowl at the time.
Yeah. Absolutely.
We went to that and we enjoyed everything. I had my cousin buy me a shirt because he was at the place that was selling the shirts. I was like, grab 17 of them. I was like, I don't care how many you grab. Just
you
grab
still
them.
Have the, some of the original
I,
ones?
I have the original shirt from the first night I bought it. I have the original hat. I have the paper from the following day that has the rainbow over it that says sure. We got it. I have all of that stuff still at my house.
Nice. And I see you've got a Jags Gator shirt on right there, a little combo. You got a teal Gator wearing a Jaguar shirt or jersey right there. I like it. I get it. How long until you think we get back to that kind of euphoria here in Jacksonville?
It's hard to say. I trust some of the process.
Which parts of the process do you try? I trust
the owner.
Okay.
I trust the owner. I trust that he's not only doing the things out in the community in Jacksonville and everything, but I trust that him being a business mind and sense that he's got to look at this as a business and realize when things aren't going well, you have to make changes. And I have trust in him, the coaching staff, not so much.
Maybe one of the changes that you're
might not so under
there.
Trust. Some of the personnel moves I kind of look at is, but
Blake Bortles, thumbs up, thumbs down. Where is he? Put it this way: 2-3 years from now, is Blake Bortles the starting quarterback of the Jacksonville Jaguars?
I personally think, and this is just me personally. I know I'm on one side of.
It's all right. You're on your side.
I'm on the side of the Twitter war that everybody at, but I think in 2 or 3 years, Blake will be the quarterback of this team.
All right. He may well be, right? That's what they drafted him to be. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's going through a rough season right now. Seems to have taken a step back in his progress, but we'll see if he can get that thing turned around. Kevin on Twitter, if you're part of Jags Twitter, you probably already know Kevin, but you can go at KevinC2415 and check out his thoughts. Honestly, I usually see your avatar and it's tiny. I thought, why is he wearing the Captain America outfit? It's not you in the Captain America outfit, is it, as it turns out?
There used to be a picture of me in the Captain America outfit out there, but that one is, I think that one's from Universal Studios a few years ago with me, Captain America, and my son. Big Captain America fan.
Three kids, right?
Yeah, I got three kids.
Because Kevin told us that 23 years ago was the fourth best day. That he had ever had.
That man's booing the Cap fan.
It don't matter.
DC Marvel gets it's a blood rivalry in this room right now.
It don't matter. Our movies have made more, so we're good.
You know that's right. Right? And it's just such a better franchise. Anyway, he said fourth best day. He goes to three kids. I said, well, it really depends on the kids, doesn't it? He goes, maybe the third best day. I'm not going to ask him which one.
No, I love all of my kids more than I love that day of getting the Jaguars.
I know you do.
I think.
It's our job to put you on the spot and make things awkward from time to time. Kevin, it's good to see you. We appreciate, again, the contribution to the J Fund, and they certainly thank you and everybody else who contributed. You can feel great about being part of a record-setting day, and we'll try to break it next year, man, and let's hope the Jags get this thing turned around sooner rather than later.
No, I'll be here.
All right, buddy. Maybe right here in the studio. You never know. It's an open door policy we've got today. Kevin, you can hang around if you like because we got Chase and Joe going to join us about toys for shots, how you can make some little mini Jaguars very happy this Christmas season. We'll explain all that coming up and take a few more of your calls as well if you want to get on board at 641-1010. Looking back 23 years ago today with Jacksonville being awarded an NFL franchise. It's a Metro Rooter Wednesday for any size plumbing job. In-home, your residence, commercial, industrial plumbing, septic systems, you name it, same-day service, weekends included. They've got the right people with the right equipment to solve the problem the first time around. It's why I trust them to come to my house when I've got plumbing issues. They've been serving Jacksonville and the surrounding area since 1978. Visit MetroRooter.com or call 695-1911, 695-1911 for Metro Rooter, our Wednesday sponsor of Jaguars Today, live at Everbank on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Jaguars Today from the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field.
All right, glad you're along with us. Jaguars Today on a Metro Rooter Wednesday continues live at Everbank. Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith here. Tony, let's just say for ourselves, for 1010XL, for the Jacksonville Jaguars. We always support the use of a designated driver when you're drinking alcohol anytime, particularly on game day.
There are options.
Yes.
You got the designated driver, you got taxis, you got Uber.
Drink to your heart's content if you're of age, right? If that's the case. So with that preamble out of the way, let's talk to our friends Chase Thompson and our new friend Joe Bain. I've never met Joe before. Hi, guys. How are you?
You feeling good, feeling good.
Batman and Bain. What the hell, man? How did you guys get together? That's an odd story. Before we get any further on the Toys for Shots tailgate event, what are you? How old are you, Chase?
I'm 25.
Man, so you don't remember anything.
Yeah, I was like a year and a half old.
I'm going to say Joe might at least be 26 based on the gray in that beard. Joe, do you remember anything from 23 years ago when the Jags were awarded the franchise?
Not really. I was more of a Buccaneers fan.
Were you? Where were you living at the time?
I was actually up in Kingsland, Georgia.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what brought you to the good side?
Just because it's the hometown team.
Proximity.
Exactly. I mean,
and
I can,
his best friends are dragging him to the side.
All my friends kicking and screaming, just, Joe, come to the games.
And are you happy with the decision despite the heartbreak of recent seasons?
I am. I mean, I've met a lot of good people and with Chase, a lot of good causes. You know, this community is, you know, very, you know, family oriented.
Absolutely.
Which I love.
Absolutely. There's a great community of Jag fans with the Bold City Brigade, the Teal Street Hooligans. You guys all tailgate out at the Slab. Explain to people what the Slab is for people who don't know, Chase.
Slab is an old parking lot-looking type section of tailgaters parking over on the corner of Duval and Bryan. And the Teal Street Hooligans 10 years ago, you know, shout out to them. This is their 10-year anniversary. So, yeah, they started it, and they started doing the circle-ups and meetings and stuff like that. And then 5 years ago, the Bold City Brigade started coming around, and it's grown and grown. And now you got to get there like we do at 6 o'clock in the morning and make sure you got a good spot in there. Because we're out there every Sunday, 6:30 to 7, and we're set up and ready to go, and we start drinking at 7:30.
And in full Batman regalia
you.
I know Joe is working on getting the appropriately colored teal and black Bane mask. It's got to be one that is drinking accessible,
exactly.
I understand, right? So
you
know, you got to make sure you got all the priorities in order here. Last year you started this, Chase, right?
This
is the second annual Bat Santa's Toys for Shots tailgate event. Explain what's the point of this?
Well, last year we started out, you know, it happened within a week of the game. I can't remember what game it was because by the game I'd had so many shots that I just couldn't remember half the game. But it ended up being a really awesome turnout, you know, for a week span. You know, everybody on Twitter and Facebook, they took to it, and we were wanting to help four families last year, and ended up taking care of 12, and it was an awesome feeling to be able to go out there and say, yeah, I know y'all, we said we were going to take care of four, but here, we got 12. We got enough for plenty of people. And me and Joe started planning this last year, what we could do to build up for it and get more things involved and to do better than what we did last year. And, of course, as soon as we get closer to it, people are writing us, asking us when it's going to be. And it takes care of – it's not just, you know, it's not one of the big corporations, which are still awesome places to donate to, but – everything we get is in our small town areas. It's in Jacksonville. It's out in Callahan. It's out in Fernandina, South Georgia, and you know, on around like Flagler and whatnot. We reach out to local firefighters and police stations, and we get, you know, do y'all have any kids that are in need? We would love to be able to help. We try to gander four or five of them from each place. This year, as of right now, we have 24 families that are signed up we signed up for. And we don't want to do 24. We want to do 48. We want to do 60. We want to be able to take care of as many as possible. So not only with the toys for shots, because you got to be 21 to come over, because you will get your ID checked when you come over.
Okay.
We'll have one person there doing nothing but checking IDs. And whenever you get your ID checked, if you donate a toy or donate a gift card or clothes or anything like that, you get a free shot, which is awesome.
So, I think I concur.
Yeah. Well, it's cool for me because I usually take a shot with them.
All right.
Because nobody wants to watch Batman. You know, they want Batman to take a shot with them. So it always works out good for me because I'm usually – well, not usually, because I usually miss that game and I forget to sell my ticket. So
Boy Wonder drives the Batmobile on that day, by the way, just letting folks know.
Oh, no, that's Rachel. Rachel takes care of
that. Okay, all right.
Well, she's Rachel Santa this game. she's really mean to me, and she hits me a lot, and she usually keeps me in line.
Probably well-deserved.
Most of the time. I'd say about 97%.
All right, that seems fair.
I'd say if you're taking shots for 48 families worth of toys, you deserve to get smacked once or twice.
All right, so basically you bring a toy. I'm assuming you want it unwrapped, right? Like
yes.
Toys for Tots does, because you want to know what's in that. And some of the things you guys will wrap yourselves to some families that are dedicated. Yes. Others, you'll bring a collection and let kids kind of pick out what they want, right?
Yes. We are going to pick out a couple of families and actually dress up and go take them the toys. Those will be wrapped. We want to be able to, you know, show them that people around do care and whatnot, and we're going to be delivering for Santa, so to speak. And then the rest of them we're going to take to these communities and drop off. And when we drop off to these communities, to the fire stations and whatnot, the families will actually come in because they want the kids to think it was from Santa. So the families will come in and pick what they think their kids would like, and then they take it home and they'll be able to wrap it there at the fire station or wrap it at the house. Then the kids wake up, and, you know, no kids need to wake up and think Santa, you know, passed their house. It's not a good feeling. I've seen it, and it's not fun to do. So that's the reason why we want to take care of as many kids as possible. No kid needs to wake up and think that Santa passed their house, especially when all these kids go to school and they see all what their friends got from Santa.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. Yeah, that, you know, looking out for kids and looking out for them right here on the First Coast is kind of the theme of the week here on 1010XL. Now, what is a cutoff for you guys? Like, let's say somebody can't make it out to this weekend's game. Is there a drop-dead date that you have to get these toys in your hand?
We're trying to be able to donate not this Friday, but the next following Friday. Now, these places are not going to tell you no. I mean, that's just what we want to collectively do is by next Friday. I don't know the date right offhand. But by next Friday, we want to be able to drop everything off to the places, you know, go out and, you know, because that's what we've pretty much told everybody. Excuse me. But, yeah, so that's what we're looking forward to. And if you can't make it to the game, you can get a hold of me or Joe. We don't have an actual drop location that you can actually go and drop things off at. That's something we're going to work on next year. But me and Joe, we both have vehicles that are really good on gas, and we have no problem driving anywhere to pick up donations. And like we were talking, you were saying earlier about unwrapped toys, we are not against taking gently used things because, you know, they ain't got to be brand new to get some use out of. And last year that was a big part of it. A lot of people brought, you know, stuff they cleaned out from their kids' toys, and a lot of it were still in very good use, and the kids loved it. So we do take stuff that aren't wrapped or aren't new or whatever. And so if you want to just clean out your closet, you know, for your kids, because they're fixing to get new toys anyway, you know, and we'll take that stuff because some kid's going to get some type of use out of it.
Right.
Even if it is a used, you know, we ask gently used, but.
Sure. You know, right. Something that you don't want something that's all beat up and falling apart. But
did I hear correctly that it sounds like there's going to be a handful of families in this area that are having their toys delivered by Batman?
Oh, yeah. They're going to have it by Batman. We're
going to
have
Santa.
Like, I can't imagine that as a kid.
Well, see, Batman's
showing up and giving me something.
Bat Santa is bringing them because Santa was busy. He got his sled broke or whatever
the
reason. And I'm bringing it. He offered me because he knew I could get there fast. I had all the gadgets to get there. So I'll be personally delivering it. Not in the cool outfit I'm going to be wearing Sunday, because it's not going to be kid approved, I would say. So, which brings me to my next point about the Bat Santa Toys for Shots. You know, to reach out to other different people, like the people who can't come out and have a shot with us because they're not of age, we're going to be doing the Sexy South Pole photo booth, which is going to be, we'll have a chair and everything set up, have a photographer out there taking pictures for a $5 donation. And whenever you donate, you get to take a picture. So the bigger the donation, the sexier your picture's going to get.
Of course. And what would put this picture in the sexy category? What qualifies it?
It's me. You're in it.
What about your elf over here?
I'm going to have my drunken elves that are going to be out there.
Okay.
Once you see my ugly sweater, like, that's just going to be sexy enough.
All right.
I just have to stand there.
Just that and nothing else.
Exactly.
Yeah, and we're going to be dressed very very awesomely, I would say.
I would imagine.
And last year it was a great time and stuff, and, the way we dressed up and everything. I've never seen Joe in short shorts, but they were green and had bells on them.
Nice.
It was awesome.
I'm sure those were bells.
So, we're going to be doing that, you know, for a $5 or more donation. We've actually reached out. Joe's a big part of this part. He's been the outreach for me this year that reached out to local companies and places like that. We got numerous places donating bottles of liquor for it, which is awesome. You know, SWC out in Callahan is donating a bottle. We got a distillery out in Fernandina that's going to be donating bottles. And then we've also got local restaurants and stuff. If Joe wants to tell you about that, he knows more information about that. But we're going to be raffling these things off.
Give me an idea, Joe. What kind of gift certificates we
I've
got?
Had a lot of places like Salty Pelican, Green Turtle, Amelia Tavern. You know, they're saying, do you need liquor? Do you need, you know, gift certificates to come eat? Some of them are actually giving us Winn-Dixie food cards, you know, so families can actually go buy their own meals.
Yeah, so anything like that, if you got a Target gift card, a Walmart gift card, something like that, that a family could use towards a happier, merrier Christmas than they otherwise would have had. All right, here's the important thing. How do folks get in touch with you and find out more? Because we say all this stuff. Sometimes it goes in one ear, out the other. If they can't come by the slab for the tailgate this Sunday, what's the best way to find you guys and get in contact with you?
The best way to get a hold of me would be Facebook, Twitter, or my email. I'm at bold or at BCB underscore Batman,
okay,
or Chase Thompson, and I'm literally the only Chase Thompson with a Batman avatar.
Okay,
so just look for that. You can get me at my email, which is Dandyman, DANDEEMAN.
Let me spell that for you. Hold on, real quick. I may keep this one. I'm sorry. I may keep that.
But it's dandyman13 at hotmail.com. Email me, or you can give us a shout on our cell phone. My cell phone number is 904-652-5879. You can give me a call, and between me and Joe, we will get it picked up. We're still reaching out to our local family and stuff like that, trying to figure out some other volunteers that can help out with it. But we're going to try to pick up as much as we can. If we can't get to you, somebody will get to you.
All right, here's what I need you to do. I need you to email me all that, okay?
Okay.
A lot of people caught that. With the whatever picture you want to accompany that,
okay,
and I'll post that on the Jaguars Today Facebook page, and we'll pin that to the top for the next week, at least until next Friday when kind of the deadline is. And so any age range, basically, right? Any you picture a kid on Christmas morning, you know, from 2 to – whatever, right?
Yeah, there's kids, everything from, you know, toddlers, you know, 6 to 8 months old, all the way up to girls and boys that are, you know, 13, 14 years old. Just any kid that, now, like I said, we got literally every age range in between that. And there's boys and girls. So we're not putting any specifics of what you have to donate. Donate whatever you feel, you know, you would like. I mean, if you're walking by and you see a, you know, Fisher-Price toy, grab that up if you would like. If you see a football, grab it up. Don't get an Xbox, you know, Xbox One, because it might not make it anywhere.
Right, I was going to say, Chase might have an extra Xbox One at the house.
Well, there's going to be a battle between Bane and Batman for that that Xbox or that PlayStation.
I hate to tell you how that one works out, Bane. I've seen the movie, all right? Now, we always talk about Dandy with good reason,
because
you guys are a phenomenal company, and I love your product, and you know, I've been eating your sandwiches for literally over 2 decades before I ever hooked up with you guys. Joe, your employer let you be here today as well. Who you want to give a shout out to out there?
Shout out to Nate and the whole crew at Phone Rescue. Thanks for holding the fort down while I'm here. And I'm probably not going to come in, because I'm going to go grab some beers after work.
No, so. There you go. Just letting Nate know.
Yeah. Sorry, Nate. I apologize. Sorry, not sorry.
I mean, he meant he's going to go on a toy run. He's picking up toys from all these different
donations. Yeah, and they're donating beers and shots
and
stuff.
Yes, he's not even pretending, ladies and gentlemen. All right. Again, it's the second annual Bat Santa's Toys for Shots tailgate event. Bring an unwrapped toy, even gently used or new, anything from 2 to a mid-teenager kind of range, gift cards, restaurant gift certificates, grocery store gift certificates, anything that can make a less fortunate family have a merrier Christmas, that would be well appreciated. And if you bring it to the slab for the tailgate, like Chase said, get there early. But you get a shot for your efforts as well.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. All right.
We'll also have a raffle going on. If anybody can't bring toys, they just want to bring just some cash.
Okay.
All the gift cards and gift certificates are going to go in a big jar, and we're going to call out winners at about 11:30.
All right.
So people can just kind of dig in there and get what they want for food and stuff.
And hopefully make it to the game by kickoff, Tony.
I'm
not man enough to survive one of those. You know, like, I'd like to visit. I've got the excuse that I'm on the air. Tony is working as well.
Yep.
So we're a little spoken for on Sunday mornings, but I'll be honest with you. I don't think I could survive it for 3 hours or more out there at the slab. So I'm happy to watch from afar right now. All right, Chase and Joe, appreciate what you guys do. Appreciate that Batman and Bane can combine forces as the holidays approach and put the kids first.
Don't get it twisted. We don't like each other.
I understand. Yeah, I understand. You just but for until December 26th, we got a moratorium on the fisticuffs. So that's good stuff. Yeah,
cordial for kids.
All right, cordial for the kids. All right, folks. And again, we'll get that posted. All the details up on the Jaguars Today Facebook page for you. So in case you missed any, we'll have that out there for you. And hopefully, you can participate in that as well. I know we're asking a lot of you. If you can't do it, we understand. But if you can, it's a great outlet to help some kids right here on the First Coast. Chase, Joe, thank you guys very much.
Thank
good
you
to
guys
see
for having
you.
Us. Yep, right.
What do you think, by the way? What do you think about the studio, Chase? Since
oh,
last
dude, I
you've
love
been
it.
Crazy,
love
right?
it. This crazy, is awesome.
It's no longer dripping on our heads.
I feel like this should be like on ESPN with like all the you know.
It really
the way
does
it's set
look.
Up.
It's they've done a good job with it.
For
now, damn. We're just Jaguars.com from time to time. All right, guys, there you go. Do we have a draft pick in, Tyler? Is that what are we announcing anything this early? We're still not mathematically eliminated. We can't go there yet. All right, guys. Thanks for your time. Good to see you. Happy holidays to both of you, and keep up the good work. All right, Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, we'll come back with your weekly injury report. We might still have a few on the line who want to tell their tale of where they were 23 years ago, and we'll take those if we can, and we'll go through some of the fan feedback that we got on Twitter and Facebook as well. Memories of when you found out the Jags were awarded an NFL franchise here in Jacksonville. It's Jaguars Today, live at Everbank on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. Hey, folks, Mike Dempsey here. My friends at Harry's Razors have a great gift idea for you for the holidays. You know, how good are Harry's Razors? Well, they're as good or better than any shaving products I've used, literally, but they cost about half as much. That's how good. They're going to put a smile on your face, and they've got an amazing five-blade razor right now, and they've got a limited edition holiday set for you. Harry's was started by a couple of two best friends who are fed up with being overcharged for razors, so they started their own company, and they deliver on their promises to give you the best of what's out there. Midnight Blue Chrome Razor Handle, three of Harry's German-engineered five-blade cartridges, foaming shave gel in a beautifully designed gift box this holiday goes for $30 at harrys.com, and as a special offer for listeners of this show, we partnered with Harry's to give you $5 off your order if you enter code Dempsey at checkout. D-E-M-P-S-E-Y. Get your holiday shopping done early. Go to harrys.com right now. Get a limited edition holiday shave set while supplies last. Don't forget, enter code Dempsey at checkout for $5 off. That's harrys.com, promo code Dempsey, and start shaving better today.
Jaguars Daily is brought to you by Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute, the official sports medicine provider for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yesterday, Malik Jackson joined the guys at Midday Chalk, thanks to Farrah Farrah, to talk about what he sees in his former team, the Denver Broncos.
I think young Simeon's been doing a good job. I had the pleasure of knowing him for a year when he was a rookie, and seeing him manage the game like he's doing it and being able to go out there and win these games like he's doing it is awesome. You know, I think he has a tremendous lot of pressure on him because he you know, it's first year playing NFL ball, and it's the second year in the league. I think they got a good team, man. I know they got a decent defense. I'll stop hating. They got a good defense. They got a good defense, and, you know, it should be a good game for us.
This has been Jaguars Daily, brought to you by JOI. I'm Jordan DeArmond.
From the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, more Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, busy day continues here at Everbank. Jaguars Today, final few minutes of the program. We've got a few minutes to spend with Dr. Stephen Lucy, Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute, the official sports medicine providers of your Jacksonville Jaguars. Good morning, Doc. How are you?
I'm good.
Happy holidays to you.
Thank you. You too.
Got some hamstring issues here, and Chris Ivory, certainly concerning. Chris Ivory was running great, and then he pulled his hamstring, was unable to return to the game. Alan Hearns also dealing with a hamstring injury. How iffy are they in your eyes for this week's availability?
You know, we've talked about this in the past, that these hamstrings and the speed guys are the worst, and I think they're very iffy. You know, the deal with Ivory, we didn't see him back, and he was playing great, but I'm most concerned about him. The deal with Alan Hearns, you got a good view when he scored that touchdown, but again, we saw with Marquise Lee, hamstrings and wide receivers are not a good combination, so that's going to be one to see if they are able to answer the bell here earlier in the week, but I'm not terribly optimistic.
All right. Well, we'll keep an eye on that. Jared Odrick's still dealing with the shoulder injury, too.
Right. He is is coming along. We'll see again whether he makes it this week. I think he is another one that's definitely iffy for this week.
Avery Jones unable to play last week. What are you hearing about him?
You know, I think he's progressing. You know, I think we'll know a little more later in the week on Avery, but hopefully we'll get some of these guys back.
Yeah, I tell you, they were shorthanded on the defensive line, that's for sure, in terms of their depth. And Julius Thomas unable to play last week. I guess he kind of bruised his lower back, tailbone area, right?
Right, and I think, from what I understand, he is going to start practicing, and we're more optimistic about him coming back. You know, we sat around here for the first half of the year and didn't have anything to talk about in the last two games.
It's really just come down when it rains, it pours, right?
It really has.
It's sprinkling right now, yes, unfortunately.
It is.
All right, Doc, we appreciate you popping in with us here, and on the 23rd anniversary of the Jaguars being awarded the franchise here in the city of Jacksonville. Pretty cool deal. Dr. Stephen Lucy with Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute, the official sports medicine providers of the Jacksonville Jaguars. And we come to you from the JOI studio every day on Jaguars Today. Doc, happy end of November. We'll talk to you next month. How about that?
It sounds good.
There he goes, Dr. Stephen Lucy. Tony, we got Cleo on the line. He's been hanging on. He just wanted to share his recollection of this date 23 years ago. Cleo, welcome to Jaguars Today. Tell us your memories from that date.
Well, I was just at home with the wife and the kids, you know, and they were announcing it on TV. And I said, I'm sure we're going to get the team, so I guess we might as well start out and get on up to Penny's in the Orange Park Mall, because they had it roped off in case they did get it. We were the first two people in line to get jerseys, or really nice. T-shirts that day. And you could only buy two per person, so there's four of us. So Penny bought two, and I bought two. And we sent our kids next day to school in the adult T-shirts because they didn't have kids' T-shirts at the time. So they all dragged the ground when they walked in, you know. But people down at Grove Park Elementary were really tickled to death to see that, because we were the first people to be able to go in there and have the T-shirts on.
That's awesome. Do you still have those shirts?
I do. I still have both of them. And they're framed and in my room that I sit in and watch the away games in.
That's awesome. Hey, Cleo, first in line, brother. That's something to be proud of, and hopefully you'll be first in line to buy Super Bowl tickets when the Jags finally qualify for the big one, man.
Well, I've been a season ticket holder since day one.
Appreciate it, bro. I know the Jags appreciate it. Better times coming. Let's just hang in there, right?
Got to do. We're one of 32 teams.
Amen, man. Bad football beats no football, but good football beats it all. So let's hope we head that direction. Cleo, thanks for the call. We appreciate it. Good story there from 23 years ago. Tony, a couple of quick ones from Twitter. I know we got just a deluge of reaction today.
We did. From Amish Jaguar, at home at the time in D.C., my dad, a Cowboys fan in Redskins territory, told me about the history of bad expansion teams. I didn't listen and attach myself to this team. Sometimes your parents are right. From Jimbo, crying my eyes out in St. Louis because we lost out on a team. It's been a long, strange trip to Jaguar fandom for me. From Duval Doom, the student union at Georgia Southern, students gathered around a TV as Channel 4 gave that nod. From Black Dog, Mandarin at home sitting on pins and needles saying, come on, say it, Jax, say it, yes! From Jarrell, he says he was in kindergarten. This may be my favorite today. From Jag in Flight, was 30 and in the Navy. Got home from work and a message on my machine from my mom in Jacksonville telling me we got the team. By the way, I still have the mini cassette with message from that machine. I've already asked if we have some way to convert that to MP3.
Oh, that's awesome.
He doesn't even have a way to play it back anymore, but he still has the cassette with the message from his mom on there, which is pretty incredible.
A regular cassette or what? Like, one
like
of
a mini cassette.
Oh, man.
I know.
Got to figure out how to transfer that, man. I got so many on the Facebook page, too. Here's just one I'll highlight because it really impacted people all over the place. Teresa, who's a regular here, giving us reaction. She said, we were stationed at Sembach, if I'm saying that properly, air station in Germany. We had to decide to lunch on the club at the base. When we were eating, they were talking about the franchise cities on the radio, and these two second lieutenants, recent college grads, were sitting at the table next to us, bashing Jacksonville, calling us a one-horse town with dirt roads. I was steamed, and my husband was trying to calm me down, and that's when the radio announcer said, Jacksonville, Florida. I jumped on a chair and screamed, yes, we got it. And they looked at me and they said, yes, my father was in the Navy and came to Jacksonville in 1960, and I bet you've never been there in your lives, ha ha. So you know what, stick it, all you second lieutenants who doubted the First Coast. We got it, and we're hanging on to it no matter what. Happy anniversary to all you Jack fans, particularly you ones who remember the day 23 years ago, and like Cleo, we're lining up to get your merchandise, your tickets, to show your support, and let's not forget what that great feeling felt like. It can be had again right here in the city of Jacksonville. It will be had again in the city of Jacksonville. We just got to get through the tough times and come out on the other side, and you'll be all the better for it, for hanging in there with your football team. That'll do it for us today. What a fun show. Thanks to Kevin Carter for joining us, telling us his story. Thanks to Barry Milligan and David Lamb for joining us with their recollections of 23 years ago. Thanks to Batman and Bane, Chase Thompson and Joe Bane with the Toys for Shots program. Chase is going to send me all the info. I'll have that up on the Jaguars Today Facebook page as quickly as I can, sometime hopefully later on this afternoon, and we'll leave that up there. Again, donate your toys, get a free shot at the slab this weekend for the tailgate for the Denver game. That'll about do it for us, Tony. Again, thanks to you out there for donating over $115,000 to the J Fund yesterday. That Absolutely. Was tremendous, tremendous work by you. For Tyler Devitt, for Tony, for Joe Fortunato, and anybody else I may be forgetting, I'm Mike Dempsey. That's going to wrap it up on a Metro Rooter Wednesday. Appreciate you listening here on Jaguars Today. Better times ahead. Ryan O'Halloran in with us tomorrow as we look ahead to the Jags and the Denver Broncos. Midday Chalk coming up next on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
You guys have a good day. Peace.